the US has killed the leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, in a drone strike in Afghanistan. Al-Zawahiri was Osama bin Laden's deputy when he planned and directed the September 11th attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. He took over as leader of the organization when bin Laden was killed by the United States in 2011. He was killed in a counter-terrorism operation carried out by the CIA in the Afghan capital of Kabul on Sunday. The killing was confirmed by President Joe Biden last night.
Zawahiri was bin Laden's leader. He was with him all the whole time. He was his number two man, his deputy at the time the terrorists attacked 9/11. He was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11. One of the most responsible for the attacks that murdered 2,977 people on American soil. And since the United States delivered justice to bin Laden 11 years ago, Zawahiri has been a leader of al-Qaeda, the leader. He made videos, including in recent weeks, calling for his followers to attack the United States and our allies. Now, justice has been delivered, and this terrorist leader is no more.
That was the US President Joe Biden confirming the death of Ayman al-Zawahiri last night. Let's speak now to Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Sunday Business Post. Marion, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell us more about Ayman al-Zawahiri and why he was such a big target for the United States.
Well, I think that, this is, you wouldn't know from Joe Biden's delivery and demeanor that this really is a big victory for him. I recall Trump's jubilation when they took out, when the US killed al-Baghdadi, the ISIS leader, where he described it in very graphic, you know, distasteful tones almost. But to get Ayman al-Zawahiri, he was bin Laden's personal doctor and his advisor. He was also regarded by a lot of people as really the brains behind the operation. He was an Egyptian surgeon. He became involved in terrorism at the age of 15. He has a really long and awful record as a terrorist. He was involved in, you may remember, the Luxor murders, the 66 tourists who were killed when they went to see the Luxor temples back in 1997. He was involved in that. He was involved in the murder of the Egyptian president Anwar al-Sawat in 1981. He was, of course, also involved in the bombings of the US embassies in Kenya and the other bombings in Africa. And, you know, and then as well, of course, 9/11 was the big bombing. And I think what Biden said there was that, you know, no matter how long it takes, we will track you down and we will get you if you're a threat to the US. Of course, Osama bin Laden was killed in May 2011, more than 11 years ago, when Barack Obama was president. And that was really seen as such a huge strike and such a huge victory for the US. But then after that came ISIS, and they really sort of, because their tactics, the beheadings and the targeting of Westerns and Americans in the Middle East was so savage and so brutal that it almost made al-Qaeda seem like they were on the back burner a little bit. But I think what's really of concern to America now, or probably should be, and certainly we've had briefings from the Department of State and other departments, is Zawahiri was living in Kabul, about 10 blocks from the American embassy, but in an area which is where all of the Taliban leaders live. Now, it's very hard to believe that, and it's understood, now I can't confirm this, that he lived in a house that belonged to a Taliban minister, a junior minister, I believe, or a deputy minister. So he was killed on the balcony of that house, as you said, at early, around 6 o'clock, after 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. He was hit by two Hellfire missiles, which are, they're basically like blenders. They're just really rapid blades attached to rockets. And though there was, for America, it was significant. There was no collateral damage. It was a clean strike. He was the only person killed in the building. No family members, nobody else. No damage done in the area. But the fact that, as I say, he was living in the middle of, you know, it'd be almost like living on Merrion Square, that how did the Taliban not know he was there? Because part of the Doha Agreement, which of course they signed with Donald Trump in 2020, said that they wouldn't give any you know, they wouldn't harbor terrorists, they wouldn't protect them, they wouldn't let them live in Afghanistan. And as I say, it seems extremely difficult to believe that he could have been living there in the middle of where the Taliban lived, and they wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah,
so I think
there are
questions to answer there.
Yeah, so it does raise questions, doesn't it, about that deal done in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that deal, as you say, included a pact that the Taliban would not harbour or allow terrorists to operate under their control. So this suggests that, I mean, as you say, the Taliban must have known about his movements if he was living in the centre of Kabul.
Yeah, and apparently in a property that was reportedly owned by if not a Taliban minister, a relative of a Taliban minister. You know, and I mean, of course, for Biden, particularly after the debacle that was the withdrawal from Afghanistan, this is good news. It's not going to take the sting out of the tail of that botched operation, but it does show that the US can still, you know, carry out these kind of, like, it was a clean surgical strike, and to get somebody of al-Zawahiri's stature. Now, you know, his most recent video was I think in April this year. He also released one marking the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, celebrating it, but you know, he is, as I say, he's somebody. It is a notable success for the US to have done this, notwithstanding, as I say, that Al-Qaeda had appeared to be retreating, you know, in terms of their threat. And certainly they've carried out no threat in the American mainland since 9/11. But it is a concern that, as I say, and not only that Zawahiri was living in the neighborhood of the government, but that who else is there? Who else is the Taliban sheltering at the moment? You know, it certainly, as I said, seems that they're not taking most people here when the Doha agreement was signed that I spoke with, you know, in the Pentagon and other places, didn't think it was worth the paper it was signed on, and this certainly would seem to endorse that opinion.
But will then the Biden administration, will Joe Biden use the fact that this was attack was carried out by a drone, that it didn't involve boots on the ground, will the president use that as evidence that his administration can continue to ensure that Afghanistan is not a threat to America, and that America doesn't have to have boots on the ground to police it?
Yeah, I think, you know, he said at the time that was precisely what he was saying, is we don't have to have our people in harm's way. We don't need boots on the ground. And he was talking about over the horizon actions that, you know, you could just as easily and effectively target with drones and, you know, from a distance, the US targets and the perceived threats in Afghanistan. This is like a you know, exhibit A of that strategy. But, you know, we'll have to see. As I said, we know that he's been taken out. We know the Taliban aren't serious in their assurances, or we can assume, to the US about not harbouring terrorists. So I think it's where it goes from here. But as I say, it certainly seems that the Doha Accord was as reckless as people thought it was at the time. And it also seems that Biden, because when he withdrew from Afghanistan, he was saying, well, look, we have a deal, I have to honour it. Well, you know, he possibly didn't have to honour it. The Taliban now, of course, are saying that he violated international law, and they're, you know, being critical of this. But in fact, I think that it was a big, you know, violation by the US. As I say, it was a clean surgical strike. It took out a known terrorist, somebody who wasn't just involved, as I say, in US terrorism, in attacking the US, but attacked, you know, as I say, the tourist in Luxor in Egypt, yes, the Egyptian president. He was in prison in Egypt for several years because of his terrorist activities, before he met up with bin Laden, long before that, and he claimed he was tortured in prison in Egypt at the time. But so he's, as I say, he was 15 years old apparently when he first joined terrorist groups. So he was killed at 71. So he has been a terrorist for virtually most of his life.
All right, Marion, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. That's Marion McKeown, US correspondent for the Sunday Business Post.